So today is what we hope is the very last day of our KSFR Spring Fun Drive. And to commemorate the fact that that is falling on St. Patrick's Day,
oh boy,
I would like to welcome Robert Nye.
Oh boy, I'm here. I'm half Irish and half German.
And he's wearing green.
Yeah, of course I'm wearing green. This morning I had Lucky Charms and a glass of green creme de menthe just to celebrate. Not working today, so nobody should complain.
You poured it over your cereal?
Oh, I just had it on the side as a chaser. I'm always getting chased, so I figured that would be a good idea.
I knew somebody who would eat Frosted Flakes with 7-Up instead of milk for breakfast.
Who was that person?
It was a computer programmer. We were in college.
This is very bizarre.
It was not good.
I'm sure. You tried it? You did.
No. 4281393. Okay, this is the last day of the KSFR Fun Drive. We hope it's the last day, and we are coming to you to ask you, if you haven't already contributed during this Fun Drive, to please do so by calling 4281393. I have recorded a couple days ago an interview that we're going to hear in just a moment with a wonderful artist who is speaking tomorrow, and it's one of those free events that we talk about so much on the Radio Cafe, and we encourage you to go. There's so many nonprofits doing amazing free events, and this is one of them. So please call 4281393, and we're looking for $1,500 people giving $1 each, or $1,500 in any way that we can get it on this show today.
So if one guy just comes up and gives us $1,500 in 5 minutes, the other people are off the hook and we can leave.
Well, you know, they can still call in. It's not the upper limit. It's just the lower limit.
Gee, here come all the details that are in a fine print, huh?
No, I mean, our goal is 1,500. If we make more, I'm not going to complain.
And you told me that if we get to 1,500, I will be eating some cereals with 7-Up on them.
No, you will be singing Danny Boy.
Oh, for St. Patty's Day.
Yes.
Can I do it like Dean Martin?
You may do it like Dean Martin.
All right, can I put my clothes on for that?
The green scarf is already on. Ladies and gentlemen, 4281393 is the number, and I want to ask you, Robert Knott, why you support public radio, why others should too.
You know, it's either very much a challenge or you feel like you're preaching to the choir till they're sick of it and you're sick of it, to say you have this independent voice in your city, and it's so vital to keep that voice alive with people who are their own thinkers, who are doing their own research, turning out really good journalism. And by the way, I'll also plug the Santa Fe New Mexican, which I write for, it in the same vein, and who real desperately need the public to be there for them. It's almost, you know, all many of the programs are run by volunteers. You have an incredible array of music, from classical to jazz to salsa sometimes.
Salsa.
Yeah, and you have great stuff like Steve Terrell's Friday Night Show. Steve writes for the New Mexican. And political commentary. You have really good journalism. I don't know why people would not support it, particularly if they're tuning in a lot or all the time. And if you're brand new to it, pay attention. Send over $10 if you can. And, you know, I just think KSFR has been this incredible, what are you going on, 30 years? 20?
Well, as an independent station, we have just passed the 12-year mark.
Okay, but as a station that's been in existence within the city,
I don't
campus,
know the answer to that. Okay. Yeah, something like maybe 20 years.
25-plus years, and housed at the community college. I just think that it's vital to remind people that we need their support. KSFR needs their support if they want to keep enjoying this programming.
The way I'd like to put it is, it comes to you over the airwaves, and so you're not required to pay a bill, but we ask you to pay a bill, and you just get to decide what your bill amount is.
Yeah, and it's better than cable TV where you keep watching zombie movies.
4281393, or reality shows. These aren't reality shows. This is reality.
Would I be good in a reality show?
You know, that is the subject of a whole other show.
Uh-oh.
We could talk about that for hours, and I think we should.
We'll get back on topic here.
4281393, 4281393. And I'm sorry, I neglected to say at the beginning, Robert Knott is a staff writer for the New Mexican, the local daily paper, and he writes about education and also arts and features and all kinds of things.
Thank you.
So we are going to hear an interview right now, and we will be back in just a moment. Let's get the phone ringing. Let's make our $1,500 goal for today. And if we make that, we're going to hear Robert Knott singing Danny Boy.
428-1393?
Yep.
Beautiful.
Thanks. I'm very happy now to welcome Lee. She is an artist, and she will be speaking tomorrow night at the Amigos Bravos Water Matters lecture series about her installation, Plastic Ocean. It's at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So, Plastic Ocean is an interactive installation. Describe it.
It's an interactive installation that is also a collaboration on an international scale. So, I became concerned about plastic in the ocean after seeing the striking work by Chris Jordan, who photographed the albatross in Midway Atoll, who were fed, the baby albatross fed plastic by their moms, and it makes them feel full, but they don't get nourishment, obviously, and they end up dying. And he photographed these nests of these birds decayed around these little plastic bits. And as a new mom, when I first saw that work, I was so just torn apart by that, because I was feeding my own child, and
yeah.
And you just, it's an emotional time, I think, in general.
Yeah.
And it stuck with me. I didn't know how to address it in my own work yet, but it really struck a chord. And over the next few years, I had been doing work that had a lot to do with agriculture, industrial versus sustainable, and one of the big parts of agriculture are the chemicals that are used in it. And I began to draw parallels between these albatross feeding their babies and what we're feeding our babies, essentially.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, when you talk about you feel full but there's no nourishment, that's kind of familiar.
Right. Yeah, very, very, very much so. And then I discovered the work of Theo Kolborn, who wrote an amazingly insightful and a bit apocalyptic book called Our Stolen Future, which is largely about the chemical body burdens that we carry. She started this organization called the Endocrine Disruption Exchange. It's just up in Colorado, near
right.
Paonia, I think, as a platform for scientists to gather information and share it on these studies on endocrine disruption, which has an impact on wildlife as it does on humans. And some of our biggest health concerns right now are becoming stronger and stronger. The connection between the chemicals that are found in plastic, that are found in agriculture, and, you know, dirty technologies, and things that we're seeing way too much of these days.
And it all has to do with petroleum extraction.
Yes, yes. So one really interesting thing about plastic, because it is made out of petrochemicals, is that when it's in the ocean, it absorbs really high concentrations of persistent organic pollutants that end up in the oceans because it drains from inland use. And these chemicals are so persistent that even the DDT and PCBs that we stopped using a couple generations ago still persist in the ocean. As the plastic gets broken up into smaller and smaller bits, and it absorbs these high concentrations of chemicals, they get eaten by the fish accidentally, desorb into their flesh, and enter into the marine food web. Which, of course, we're a part of as well. So it's
right.
So it's I think that's the one bridge between the symbolic parallel of, you know, Mama Albatross feeding their babies and us feeding our babies. There's just kind of that direct connection within the marine food web as well.
So, I drink a bottle of soda. The bottle gets thrown out. It gets into the ocean. It breaks up into little pieces. It absorbs chemicals that came from fertilizer or PCBs or other things that we consider poisons. Those things are eaten by fish. Other fish eat them. We eat some of those fish. And the whole cycle goes around.
Yeah. Yeah. So these chemicals are really fat-loving. And interestingly enough, the highest concentrations are found in North and South Pole wildlife, polar bears and seals, because it becomes more and more concentrated as it's consumed, and it just ends up in these animals that rely on their fat for survival.
And so there's another piece of it, too, which is that when plastic that we use, often single-use plastic, ends up in the ocean, it breaks up into smaller and smaller pieces to where it's the size of plankton,
right,
which is the base of the food web.
Right, right. And so, and then it's also such an important thing even for inlanders, because plankton produces a third of the oxygen we breathe and captures a third of our carbon. So we can't clean up the plastic in the ocean because we would be picking up all the plankton, which is essential to our own survival, even as we dwell.
So we've got a big problem.
Yeah, I should say.
And you were addressing it, among other ways, through this installation that you're working on called Plastic Ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a while to come to a point where I had a way of interpreting it. I remember a conversation with a Pacific fisherman who spent a lot of time in the gyres. His name was Jerry Brown. I met him at the Terra Madre conference in Italy, and he was so excited that someone was connecting our problems with chemical use in agriculture to the oceans, because he saw it so much. And he had this story where there was a tsunami in Japan, which they followed all the debris across the ocean until it landed on the northwest coast. And he said it was so interesting because when it started to land, all of these photojournalists came out and started taking pictures of like the big pieces of dock or whatever, that because it was the most sensational image.
The northwest coast of
the U.S.
the United States
came across. And he just shook his head. He said, you know, that those big pieces, whether they're man-made or natural, are an essential part of the open ocean ecosystem. The problem is the little tiny bits. And so as a visual artist, I started to think, well, how can you make this so impactful without relying on these sensational images that aren't really having to do with the problem? So I came up with a way to communicate this through these little tiny images the size of your palm that are grouped together in these installations that participants can move around, but then they can also make their own fish to or creatures to release into this ocean. So it becomes a collaboration that has engaged people in the Mediterranean and the Caribbean. I'm looking to go to Maine and then the Bay Area this summer to continue it.
We're talking to artist Lee Lee about her work, Plastic Ocean, an Interactive Installation. We are here in the Santa Fe Baking Company with Robert Knott, and we are just about 10% of the way to our $1,500 goal for this hour. So that's not bad, but it's not good.
Well, didn't you say that some people also offer $2,000 if I don't sing? What do you do about that?
If somebody offers us $2,000 for your not singing, we're going to have some very tough choices to make here.
Because do we please the people that want it or please the people who paid more money?
You know, I guess that's a question that you always have to come up with.
Wouldn't it be nice if that bridge that needed to be crossed within like 45 minutes?
Sure, I challenge somebody to pledge $2,000 to have Robert not sing. Or to have Robert not sing.
Oh, very good.
That could go either way.
I've had 50 years of those kind of jokes. I'm used to them.
4281393 is the number. So basically we're asking everybody who hasn't made a contribution yet to KSFR to think about this station. In the background you hear the noise of
cicadas.
Well, you hear some kind of, I don't know if it's the espresso machine or the water or something, but it's remarkably loud, and it's blending with the voices of these sort of elder gentlemen who are keeping the world spinning on its axis.
And telling funny jokes.
And telling very funny jokes, which I cannot repeat on the radio.
No, I know that.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. And there are so many people who haven't made a contribution yet. We could end the fund drive where we don't usually go into the second week. It's been a little bit slow, and for that reason, we are going into the second week. And, you know, that's the best we can do. You got to do what you got
to
do.
Well, if you're ending it on St. Patrick's Day, it's a good day to celebrate.
That's true.
Now, and do you have any Irish in you?
You know, I don't officially know, but on my grandmother's side, the Sicilian side, we do have a number of redheads.
Ooh.
And we wonder how they got that way.
I see. Well, I don't know. My first girlfriend was Italian, and she was a redhead. I think there's Italian redheads.
There's Italian redheads, but, you know, does that... Was there a Celtic invasion in there somewhere?
If that was a double entendre, it was a good one, and I'm glad I didn't say it.
428-1393 is the number. And we're wondering if there's any ringing going on in the phone room. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But we're just simply asking you once more, and this is the last day of the fun drive. Ah, that machine went off. Oops, now it went on again. It's the last day, we hope, and we can make it the last day if you contribute now. 428-1393.
And what's the deadline? Midnight tonight?
No, the deadline is the end of this show, 9 o'clock.
You're kidding.
No, I am kidding.
Oh.
but my deadline is 9 o'clock. $1,500 by 9 o'clock. The deadline is, I don't know, today. I mean, basically, we had a dollar goal, and I'm not even sure what the exact amount was, but we had a dollar goal for this fun drive, and all we want to do is reach that so that we can stay on the air another 6 months.
Now, are dogs and cats allowed in the control room down at KSFR?
Dogs and cats are not allowed in the control room, but we're allowed to talk about them.
Oh,
you
boy.
Lost a dog recently.
I did.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Anyone who's had a dog knows what that's like. I cried and cried all day long and drank way too much beer, and she was a beautiful chow blue heeler named Jem, is in Gemstone, and I think of her every day. You know what? I still think I hear her in the apartment, like
Aww.
Her little paws and her little ways. And she came to us on a cold winter February, and 14 years ago, and almost to the day she arrived, she just gave out on me and gave me a look. Her legs were gone, and it's funny because the night she came, I remember it snowed. And after I put her to sleep, that night it snowed. It was one of our last snowfalls that night, February 3rd. So I did. I'm sorry. But I still have Rio, my pit bull boxer, who last night decided to bark at what I think was a skunk in the neighborhood. And thankfully, Skunky couldn't get over the wall that my neighbors built, the coyote fence. But he drove me crazy last night. But I love him. He's my dog. If you have dogs, you love them. And I believe you also lost one?
Yeah, I lost my little dog, Honey, on the 9th of February, which was just, what, 5 or 6 days
About
after
a week
you
later,
lost your
yeah.
dog. And I'd also had her for almost 14 years, and she had lived next door, and she adopted me.
Yes.
And then when the people who lived next door moved away, we had a very involved negotiation wherein everybody realized that Honey had already adopted me, and so we had to make that official for the sake of the dog.
My parents went through that with the neighbors next door regarding me. Negotiations about who was going to take me in because neither one wanted me. It was like the Capulets and the Montagues, and I never read the rest of that story.
It didn't come out so good.
No. Did you read that national story that ran recently? And we'll get back to please calling us at 428-1393, especially if you like dogs.
428-1393, yes.
Your dogs have no guilt, even though they make the face when you yell at them. Like you come in and the socks are, who did this? Who chewed up the socks? And they make that face. But
and
really
they look down.
The experts claim it has nothing to do with that. They're just baffled by your behavior, and it does almost no good.
Well, it's a submissive face.
Right.
They know that you can hurt them.
But they haven't got a clue that it has to do with the torn-up socks.
Oh, yes, they do.
You think so?
Yes.
All right.
Especially if you... I mean, I have this thing that my dogs have discovered that they can get into my garbage in a way that... Even a year ago, they hadn't. My two remaining dogs and...
No, that's me.
Oh, so you're the one who ate that the Indian leftover food out of the styrofoam containers yesterday morning.
Good. And I like those, what were they, Cheerios with 7-Up? Or was it Frosted Flakes?
Frosted Flakes with 7-Up. 428-1393. If you would like to give a contribution to KSFR in the name of one of your animals, you are more than welcome to do
that's
so.
That's brilliant.
And I had this dog, Honey, and then I got another dog that was white and named it Milk. And so then I said that I lived in the land of milk and honey.
And you used to sing that really beautiful song about,
about milk and
but
honey.
But you also had a third dog who's now a second dog, right?
Yes, whose name is Horatio, or Orejas.
He's named after one of those famous Greek scholars, right?
Well, actually, his name is Orejas, because he was a... Mexican dog, but then his owners moved away, so they gave him to me, and my friend couldn't pronounce Orejas, so they named him Horatio.
So did he have to switch from Spanish to English language?
The dog is completely bilingual.
They're like multilingual, aren't they?
4281393. I think we have to go back to this interview, which, by the way, is about a woman who's doing a wonderful installation, and she's speaking tomorrow at the Santa Fe Community Foundation as part of the Amigos Bravos Water Matters lecture series. So let's go back and hear her. And while she's talking, and also while we're just going on, 4281393 is the number. We want to push for that $1,500 goal by the end of this hour. We want to finish the KSFR fund drive. 4281393, go. I was looking at some of your images, and one of the things that is so striking to me is that they're really beautiful, but plastic is in some ways really ugly, and there's a kind of dialectic with that.
Yeah, I think that it's so important to make beautiful images, even as you're addressing kind of horrendous subjects, so that it can be engaging. Chris Jordan, the artist who I mentioned before, after he did these images of the albatross, did a film so that he could demonstrate the beauty on Midway Atoll, the diversity of life, and why it's essential or, important to protect. And I think that's a really important philosophy to weave into creative. You have to make it engaging so that people will spend time with it.
So where's the physical work right now? Are we going to be able to have the chance to see it? Are you showing it in slides?
No, I'm going to bring in a smaller example of the installation. The bulk of it is coming back from France right now. But it is one, because they're all these little tiny pieces, it can, one, be in several places at once, and it can be in a small space or grow to a very large space. So it's flexible, I guess. So I'll bring in a little example of what I'm talking about, and hopefully it will strike some interest and engagement. I think it's also important to connect this issue to how we dwell in the inland areas. The ocean can seem so far away from people in New Mexico, but really we are connected to it. So,
well, anybody who eats fish is connected to it.
Right. And our activities here have an impact on it. I know that there's a lot of conversation around fracking and the chemicals there, I think, are an issue that we need to consider carefully before they're released, because the thing about the persistent organic pollutants, the chemicals, there is no way to reclaim them once they're released into the environment.
And that's the thing that is so daunting about this whole subject. As you say, you can't just go into the ocean and take out the plastic because you're taking out the plankton.
Right.
And so what are we to do?
My feeling is that just as the installation is, both a literal interpretation of the plastic as well as a symbolic representation of the chemical body burdens we're carrying, I feel like if we address our own health and the health of our families, which means really look at your shampoos and lotions and cosmetics, your personal care products, really look at the food you're eating and where it's sourced and how it's grown. If you take care of your family, your community, then that's really going to have larger impacts on the environment in which we dwell. It's tied to a lot of the issues that we're facing right now. And I think that there are ways to do it that we do have control over. There are other situations we don't have control over, but if we really take hold of our own day-to-day lives, that is a great place to start. There's a great resource through the Environmental Working Group, I believe it's EWG.org, and they go into great detail about how you can take care of yourself and your family, and that as an extension will have an impact.
So talk more about the installation and the interactive nature of it.
Yeah, so when images are made, either by myself or other artists, or often children participate, because I think it's an educational tool, I copy them, the images, the fish, onto repurposed foam core, which is a very light material. I put Velcro on the back of it, and it's mounted on felt, which can be mounted to a wall or a board on the wall, and or it's also flexible about how yeah. we can work with the space. But I think it's a great tool to engage children, especially to think about what's taken for granted. I think it's a great tool to let people consider cultural notions of disposability and waste and what that means. There's actually a great book by Edward Humes that just came out called Garbology that goes into the study of trash. And he claims, you know, one of our biggest things that we're passing on to our kids or leaving to our kids is garbage, which is kind of disheartening. You know, I think we should leave something better to our children. And I think that it's a gift for children to be able to consider that and what they want to say about that. I took the project to France for a recent exhibition, and they had it in a more formal gallery space where children could interact with it, move it around, explore the interconnections of the marine food web, and then there was a table where they could make their own fish and add it into the ocean. We did a project in Tortola, or near Tortola in the British Virgin Islands, and that was a little bit different. The artists I collaborated with there, Aragorn, had more of a performance-based idea. He has a workshop right on the beach in Trellis Bay and had a New Year's gathering where hundreds of people gathered. And just before the New Year, he has these big sculptures that he lights on fire above the water. And right before they flamed up, we released hundreds of glowing plastic bottles because it was upwind and could wash ashore, which was such an interesting kind of symbolic message in a bottle returned to this gathering of people that I thought was really poignant. And unexpectedly, the island kids kind of rushed through and picked up all the bottles, which was a perfect end to that little performance piece. And that wasn't directly related to this particular installation, but it was inspired by it. And I love maintaining an openness to the way other creatives will interpret and want to express the theme. I also did some work in Haiti this winter. And while it wasn't directly related to this project, I noticed that it's such a huge source of debris in the ocean because the government doesn't think it's worth it to pick up the trash, unfortunately. And I was working with a community of artists who used a lot of repurposed material and got a couple images from the children there after they heard about the project that were these voodoo loa, these kind of traditional protectors of the sea. And I thought that was such a wonderful contribution. It's not something that I could make because it's not my culture, you know, but to embrace these different cultural interpretations and just bring them into the fold and as an expression of their own concern about waste and the oceans, I think is a lot of fun, really.
We're talking to artist Lee Lee about her work, Plastic Ocean, an Interactive Installation. And we are here at the Santa Fe Baking Company, and we are with Robert Knott, and we have not quite reached our goal. In fact, we're nowhere close. We have a $1,500 goal for this hour. We are still in our fun drive. It's the last day of our fun drive to celebrate St. Patrick's Day and to celebrate this being the last day of our fun drive. If you haven't made a contribution yet, please, please do so now and give a call to 428-1393. Do we have a report from the control room? Oh, I thought I heard the pitter-patter of sound in the control room.
I mean, it's probably a kitty cat that they let in, even though you said it was against the rules.
I see one really close. In fact, it started purring. There
like
it goes.
When I purr. You pretend you don't like it, but when I do it, you like it. Say, what do you know about St. Patrick's himself?
Nothing.
Oh, you didn't do any research for the show?
No.
Huh.
Except that I knew you'd be wearing green, so that seemed to take
care of it. I think he was a priest, and he got kidnapped by the Seriously, I don't remember if it was the Italians or the Moors. And then he fought his way back, and then he became a priest and started converting the people that kidnapped him to Catholicism. But obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about, and it'd be better if I just shut up, based on the look you're giving me.
What look? I'm just taking it all in.
I think it's very possible, too, he was a leprechaun. Now, where did that myth come from, leprechauns?
Oh, it's not a myth.
I see. Tell us more.
There are little ground spirits that, when people aren't calling, they get inside their telephones and they go up their arms and they make them press the numbers 4281393.
Very clever. Very clever, Mary Charlotte. Aye, you're a smart one. The Blarney Stone's certainly part of your makeup, I see.
I know so many Irish jokes, and not a single one of them is fit to be told over the air.
You've got to be kidding me.
4281393.
Tell that joke about the traveling saleswoman you just told during the break. That was so naughty.
Robert Knott is here, and we miss him. We miss him so, although we have absolutely fabulous people doing Speaking of the Arts on Fridays. But
yeah,
you and I had a long run.
We certainly did have a long run, and then I started running even more when people began pursuing me. But I heard you say you might want to have me on one day soon.
It would be lovely to have you on Friday one day soon. I don't think we've ever had you on a Monday.
All right, no, we haven't. It's just coincidence that I worked yesterday. I have today off, so... It'll be a good day. I'm going to wash all my green clothes and start drinking some green beer around 4 o'clock and just sort of enjoy the spirit. I've got a story in today's paper about this wonderful guy named Edward Hansen who brews his own beer and has St. Paddy's Day parties. No, it's not open to the public, but it was an interesting piece, and I trust it came out okay. And he's going to be celebrating with other people tonight, St. Paddy's Day. Is this a big St. Paddy's Day town?
I don't really think so.
Is it a big Let's Support KSFR town?
It is. I hope a big KSFR support KSFR town. We're 25% of our way to our goal.
Yes, and lots of people are calling in right now.
Oh, good. Do we have a report from the control room?
We do indeed. I have many thanks here.
Oh, goody.
Kathleen Clausen.
Thank you.
Kathleen.
Jan Wilhelm Janssen.
Yay, thank you.
And Mark Delf called in and dedicated his contribution to his cat, Mr. Graham.
Oh, kitty.
Jonathan Richards and Claudia Jessup.
Thank you so much.
John Gordon.
Yay.
And, of course, this person just thinks you're one of her favorite people in Santa Fe. That's Beth Kennedy Jones.
Oh, thank you, Beth. She is a wonderful person, a wonderful performer.
Aunt Sally Bingham.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you, Sally.
Billy Blair from Guatemala, no less.
I know. I love that.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool. So keep it ringing there.
And Billy Blair, I got a note from her when she said she was contributing, and she said, I will contribute, but only if Robert sings Danny Boy.
Yes, and I want to hear him sing Danny Boy, too, so call us, 428-1393.
428-1393 is the number. There's also a toll-free number, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. 866 is toll-free.
That's nice. Danny Boy is such a sad song. Why do people want to hear that?
Because the tune is sweet and lovely, and because your voice sounds like Dean Martin.
I'm not going to sing it sweet and lovely. It's in the morning. I barely woke up. I'm still recovering from a green beer hangover. And you want me to sing Danny Boy?
Well, yes.
Well, it's sung from the first person of somebody who's dead. How could that happen? I mean, think realistically.
What do you mean?
The person's in the grave and they're singing this song. Who took down the lyrics? Who actually wrote that down, I wonder?
Must have
been some ghost hunter.
I think it was the leprechauns.
Oh, there you go again. That's pretty good.
4281393. And as a way of shutting up now, I'm going to shut up now. Let you call.
Me?
Ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land. 4281393 and make a contribution to this show, to this station, to public media, everywhere. 4281393. And let's go back to Lili. So, are you going around, I mean, the world, and then collecting the pieces, the material pieces? I mean, obviously it has a performance element, too, and kind of showing an ever-growing body of this work?
Yes.
It reminds me of the AIDS quilt.
Oh, yeah. And as it's inserted into classrooms, you know, it went up to the Museum of Natural History at the University of Colorado. the kids really love looking on a map and seeing where all the voices are coming from and where their works are going to travel to as well. So I think it's something that's going to unfold over years. I don't think, unfortunately, that it's a problem that's going to be solved, but anytime soon at least. But I think it's a way to let people consider that the best way to curb it is at the source, because it's impossible to clean up. We need to just question these cultural norms that have only developed in the past generation or so about how much packaging we use and consume and just throw away.
So what are your hopes for this project? Is it primarily about inspiring young people, about inspiring everybody to change their habits?
I feel like I'm going to primarily direct it towards young people because they're not so ingrained into the habits that we have been. And I feel like they are such an important collaborator in engaging families to look at their actions, you know, because they go back into the hearts of their families. When they start looking around and talking with their parents about this concern, then the parents listen to them because they care about them. So I think they're good activists in that way because they bring up issues within the core of their families.
So you'll be talking about this project, the installation Plastic Ocean, and showing us work from that tomorrow night.
Yes, absolutely. And also drawing connections about how we are directly connected even though we are inland dwellers. You know, there's actually been talk about how there's a gyre in the middle of the Southwest Desert in Arizona. It's a different character, but it's having an impact on wildlife.
Right.
Yeah, because of all the waste. And I think just an overall excitement. I hope to share how exciting it is that this project is gaining momentum so quickly, and I think that's because it's really striking a chord with people. I think that it is empowering to have an outlet for people to express these kinds of concerns. And perhaps people will step forward with ways to engage this community with an installation or in a school or in a community place where people can really jump in and contribute some marine life to it.
If, for example, teachers or students or artists who are listening to this want to participate in some way, how can they do so?
I'm posting the projects on the website virtualvoices.org.
Virtualvoices.org, all one word.
Yeah, and there are details on how to participate that way. And people just randomly have sent me images as they've heard about the project, which is fun. There was a woman from New Jersey who just sent an image of a rubber duck that was surrounded by yellow and kind of fractured on the inside, which was so perfect to me because there was this one case where a container of rubber ducks was coming over from China and fell off the ship. And for years, people found these rubber ducks washing up more and more and more decayed. I think they're still washing up, but they're at the state where they're completely unrecognizable now. But it was such a perfect...
That's
kind
so
of
weird.
Yes. Yeah, such a symbol of childhood just becoming...
Right, not as innocent and sweet as we had once thought it was. And I think that's what this is about in so many ways. I mean, you look at the life that was created post-World War II that was so kind of comfortable compared to life before that and seemed sort of safe and turns out not to be because it's based on a petroleum economy and a petroleum material life.
Yeah, it's really, I think they had to change the composition of the rubber ducks because they had phthalates in them, which is a big endocrine disruptor, and it took years for them to prove scientifically that this was really bad for us. And they finally changed the recipe, And they're finding, you know, of course, in the BPA-free linings of cans and whatnot, that there are, it's the chemical composition is equally as disruptive. It's just...
Is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, they run tests on the BPA-free, and it's not just one chemical in plastic. It's made up of a whole range of unknowns, and we're finding that those just don't really sync with our bodies.
Yeah, and once you start to really think about that and really internalize it, then you start thinking, okay, how am I going to live my own life? I remember a couple of years ago we had a documentary film about plastic water bottles, and I was watching it on a DVD at home getting ready to write questions to interview the woman. And in the middle of the documentary, I just turned it off and ordered a soda stream water fizzer online because I couldn't bear the fact that I drink so much fizzy water out of plastic bottles, and have been using that ever since. And have, you know, it makes a huge difference, one action like that. But then you think, well, you still drink your fruit juice. Are you drinking that out of plastic bottles? What if you were to get a blender and make fruit smoothies instead? And each of these things is a thought that then takes action, and that action can be kind of a cumbersome or a pain in the neck, but then you realize it's not really that bad compared to what you're saving.
Yeah.
And those are the thought kind of processes that I think a lot of us have to really follow to their end.
Right. I feel like a lot of it has to do with habits. Just simply...
Right.
Grabbing your bag when you're going to the store, you know, so you don't use all the plastic bags. I remember a conversation with a friend of mine who is the engineer and drives the Alvin submarine that goes to the bottom of the ocean to study those deep sea vents. And he said just how horrified he was to get to the bottom of the ocean, the most remote place on Earth, and see a plastic bag floating by.
Oh, my goodness.
Horrible. Horrible. But I think, like you say, it's about paying attention about what we consume in our day-to-day lives and changing simple habits.
And it's about, ultimately, it's about policy, because the thoughtful, creative artists like you will change your habits, and then the rest of us will do it, you know, step by step. But until Santa Fe bans plastic bags, which they did, things don't really change on a mass scale.
Right, right. And it takes, I mean, the whole plastic bag ban movement takes people being aware and concerned about it. And I think that's one of the role in the arts, is to engage people in a creative and positive way and let them realize what the issues are so that they can become those concerned citizens who are taking action and demanding those policy changes.
Lili is an artist. Her installation is called Plastic Ocean, an interactive installation. She will be speaking at the Amigos Bravos Water Matters Lecture. It's a monthly series, and it's happening tomorrow night at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation on Helena Street here in Santa Fe. Tell us once again the website that people can go to find out more about your work.
Virtualvoices.org.
Virtualvoices.org.
Yeah.
Lili, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
And we are in the Santa Fe Baking Company, and Robert Knott is here. Are you making a comment on my on the interview?
No, I was just catching up on some sleep, but move over there.
428-1393, and we haven't reached our $1,500 goal, but we've gotten well over halfway.
Nice, that's good.
So that's pretty good.
But sometimes it's like a deadline. You ask for this much, you get half, and you're happy even though you don't tell anybody that I'm in the air.
No, we're not happy. We want the whole thing.
All right.
428-1393. But we are going to, because some people put their contribution contingent on your singing Danny Boy, we're going to let you do that.
Do you know how many people tell me that they miss me singing Dean Martin? I don't know why. I don't always sing Dean Martin well, and I don't know that Dean Martin ever sang Danny Boy, but...
Well, to sing Danny Boy like Dean Martin is a talent that very few people in Santa Fe or anywhere have.
Especially when I'm just wearing a green scarf and nothing else. I'm a little cold over here.
It is a little chilly here in the baking company, but Robert Knott is well decked out. No, I mean, I think it was tasteful of you to wear the emerald green Speedo.
Well, of course, I'm half Irish.
4281393. And public radio, what can I say? It's been a week that we've been doing the KSFR Fun Drive. Many people have generously contributed. Many people still have not. Wondering if we have any thank yous. And once we do that, we will let the tunes begin.
Right. Well, we have a Jane Bernard for her she's a photographer here.
Yay. And a wonderful photographer. Thank you.
Frank Regano.
Thank you.
Elise Packard.
Yay.
Definitely for you, Mary Charlotte, and the
Radio
Cafe. And, of course, Brian Egolf.
Yay. Thank you, Brian.
Michael Smith.
Thank you.
And Charles Tishner.
We love all of you, and we love all of our listeners. 428-1393, we want to make our goal by the end of the hour. We might be able to do it because we've got about 5 minutes left, so if we get the phones ringing off the hook, we can do it.
Should I run over to the payphone and start ringing? And then it sounds like they're ringing in the console.
Yeah, the payphone. What's that?
I don't know. I forgot my cell phone this morning. I was looking for a payphone.
All right. I think that we will let the tunes begin.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses fallen. Tis you, must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, hell, when a valley's hushed and white with snow, 'tis I'll be here in sunshine or in a little bit of Irish shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
Thank you so much.
That's all right. A little bit of Dean Martin in the morning.
A little bit of Dean Martin with a little bit of Irish brogue thrown in 3/4 of the way through.
Well, people don't believe I'm Irish, but the truth is I is.
You is. 428-1393. The phone is still ringing. And,
hello. Calm to shut up.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
Moo.
But if you come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead and dead I well may be, you'll come and find the place where I am lying and kneel and say an ave there for me. Isn't that a beautiful song?
It's a very, very beautiful song. It brings tears to my eyes.
Really,
I don't know why.
The fact that you were looking at me this morning.
No, you bring smiles of joy to my eyes, Robert Knott.
Thank you.
We want to at least reach our $1,000 modified goal, which I think we're doing,
like,
or almost doing. So just a couple more calls by the end of the hour. We've got 5 minutes left here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Otherwise, I'm going to start reciting War and Peace from the foreword.
From page
I. Like the acknowledgments page.
IV.
I tried to read that story once, but it was tough to do. Probably because it was in Russian.
428-1393 is the number. And we've got so many good programs lined up for you for the rest of this week. And I am going later in the week to a conference on domestic violence, and we're going to do a radio series about that. We try to do serious subjects on this show. We try to do some really fun subjects on this show, some that are a little bit of both, like Plastic Ocean, which is a wonderful art installation. Oh, I wanted to mention also when we were on the theme of plastic bags and the real horrors that plastic bags are inflicting on our environment. If you make that call right now, you can get a KSFR canvas grocery bag. It can be used for other things besides groceries. I use it often for toting around headphones. 428-1393. We're almost to the $1,000 mark, so why don't we make that by the end of this hour? 428-1393, 428-1393. And if you make a very modest contribution, you can get that grocery bag and carry around your groceries in that instead of using plastic bags.
We only need like 65 more bucks. Call and make it.
Something
and then if
like
five
that.
Of you do that, then we'll even be better off.
That's
but
right.
I'm not trying to trick you.
428-1393. Robert Knott, what are you working on these days?
You know what? I've got a book coming out in September that I co-wrote with the wonderful Max Evans, a 90-year-old writer from Albuquerque. A lot of people know him for the books The High-Low Country and The Rounders. He dictated his memoirs of his working relationship and friendship with a film director named Sam Peckinpah and his many years working in Hollywood. I think it's going to be a hell of a book. It's really his story as told to me. And I'm just going to chill until that comes out. I got to work on the galleys, go over photos, and that's it, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, will you come on the air when it's ready?
Yeah, I'd like to come on the air before then.
Well, you will come on the air, maybe in a couple of weeks.
Well, not when you do the serious subjects. Do like Pratfall City, and then I'll be here.
What's that?
Well, you know, I'm going to a Pratfall conference, learning how to take Pratfall. So I'll come on the air and show people how to do it. Will that work on the air?
Oh, sure. That works really well on radio.
I see.
428-1393. I think we're almost there. We've got 1 minute left in this hour. We really appreciate everybody's contributing to public radio. It's a tough business to stay alive in public radio. We rely so much on our listeners. We thank our listeners for tuning in. We thank our listeners for making just that little contribution. And what else can we say, Robert? It's not easy. This life isn't easy.
Well, that's
it's
why I'm
very, very challenging.
From a guy from the grave saying, come and visit me, and then I can't wait till you get here, so we'll both be happy together. What a thing to say from the grave.
You know, we're $15 away from our goal.
Come on, quick.
And we're also 20 seconds away from the end of the show. 428-1393. Robert Knott is with the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's a staff writer there. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. And we'll see you on Speaking of the Arts in a few weeks.
Oh, Mary Charlotte, I love you so.
And we love you, Robert. Adios.